Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Wire Podcast. I'm Cameron DeSilva. You can follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire. With teams still on summer break until training camp begins in late July, there's not a whole lot going on across the NFL. Some players are taking vacations, some coaches are off, so we're not hearing much out of the Rams facility out in Thousand Oaks. But there is some things to talk about with regards to some happenings around the NFL, jersey sales, Brandon Cooks, things like that. So we'll get right into it by talking about something that I wrote about this week, kind of just discussing where Brandon Cooks could play and what his ceiling is basically for the Rams now that he's part of Los Angeles after the Rams traded for him this offseason. He's not quite an elite receiver, but Peter Schrager last week mentioned that he could see Cooks kind of joining Antonio Brown on that tier of wideouts, essentially saying that he can become an elite guy in 2018. He sees Cooks having a big season for the Rams. He likes the fit in Sean McVay's offense. Jared Goff is a good quarterback for him to play alongside after playing with Tom Brady and Drew Brees. So there's a lot of reason for hope with Cooks in Los Angeles, but I'm a little more hesitant to say that he's going to become elite in 2018 just because there's a few things that I think are going to work against him, not necessarily things that are his fault. So when you talk about the elite receivers, you're obviously talking about Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins. You could even throw Keenan Allen in there probably. So there's a handful of really good ones out there. But what separates the elite from the really good receivers, it's almost a fine line because I don't think I would put Mike Evans in that elite group. So there's a few players where they're kind of on the fringe there. AJ Green, take your pick whether you want to put him in the elite category or not. He's somewhat inconsistent when it comes to either staying healthy or really just putting up consistent numbers. But Cooks is on that really good tier, I would say, but he's not quite elite. And in order for him to become elite, I think he has to, he's obviously consistent. He puts up 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns every season, it seems like. He's done that each of the past 3 years. So there's no issues with consistency. It's really having that breakout season where he's going over 1,400 yards, catching double-digit touchdown passes, and really becoming a true number one receiver. Even though he was pretty close to being that with the Patriots and Saints, he's not someone that is going to command double teams on a consistent basis. He's not someone who is really a dominant receiver when it comes to physicality and traits like that. He wins with speed, he wins with route running, and he really has to make plays after the catch in order to have a great deal of success, because he's not going to win jump balls. He's not going to overmatch other defensive backs, of course. But as far as why I don't see him becoming elite next season, I think it really boils down to what the Rams offense is. We saw last season that it's not an offense that's predicated on getting one guy the ball as much as possible. Obviously, that excludes Todd Gurley because he did get the ball a lot. But I'm talking strictly wide receivers where the quarterback is going to force the ball to that receiver in order to get him more touches. That's something that the Falcons do with Julio. It's something that the Steelers do a lot with Antonio Brown. And it's not necessarily forcing the ball to them. It's really just game planning to get them open and to get them the ball on X amount of targets per game. Whether that's 10, 15, it doesn't make a difference. It's really just having that game plan where on this play we're looking his way primarily, and if it's not there, then it's probably a check down. So with Cooks, the Rams just have too many weapons on offense for him to get the ball 100-plus times next season. You have Robert Woods on the other side. You have Cooper Kupp in the slot. You have Gerald Everett at tight end. Tyler Higbee gets a few passes thrown his way each week. And then you have Todd Gurley, who's the biggest factor in all of this because he does touch the ball so much. He's someone who not only carries the ball, but he sees a lot of passes come his way as far as screen passes, check downs, Even designed passes his way when he splits out wide. So getting Cooks the ball 100 times is going to be a task, especially if the Rams want to run the ball consistently and really just overpower other defenses by giving the ball to Todd Gurley, who was the best offensive player in the NFL last season. So I don't think Cooks is someone that Jared Goff is going to look to consistently enough to get him 100 catches or say 1,400 yards. That doesn't mean he's not going to be a great player. He's not going to be a Pro Bowler. I'm not saying anything like that. He obviously has Pro Bowl potential, but taking it from the Pro Bowl to being an elite receiver is it's a different story to me. Because you see so many, you get players who bow out of the Pro Bowl who don't want to play, and you get alternates getting Pro Bowl bids and things like that where they don't necessarily deserve to be Pro Bowlers. But I don't see Cooks really taking it to the next level as far as being an elite receiver goes. He has traits similar to Antonio Brown. He has good speed. He's a great route runner. He has good hands, and his footwork is really good along the sideline. We saw that on one of Brady's touchdown passes last season in the corner of the end zone at the end of the game to Cooks, where he dragged his toes and made a pretty spectacular catch to basically win the game for the Patriots. But he's gonna be a piece of the offense, not the focal point. That's where the difference comes with when it comes to the Steelers, who they get the ball consistently to Antonio Brown. Julio Jones sees a ton of targets for the Falcons. I just don't really see that happening with Cooks next season. But that being said, he's going to be a good player. Jared Goff is going to get him the ball. I could easily see him seeing 80 catches, going over maybe 1,000, 1,100 yards. But Sammy Watkins is a similar deep threat. The Rams probably had a similar plan for him, and he barely had an impact at all for the Rams. I expect Cooks to be a lot better just because you can get him going on screen passes, short routes, intermediate crossers. He's not someone who's going to go towards contact and go into defenders. He's kind of shies away from contact after getting the ball in his hands a little bit, but he can make defenders miss and really turn short passes into big plays. So I would say he could catch 80 passes for 1,100 yards and maybe 7, 8 touchdowns like he consistently has in the past. But going over that, it's going to be tough to see. Transitioning into a kind of similar topic, I also talked about who I think could be first-time Pro Bowlers for the Rams. Last season, they had a bunch of players. I can't remember the total. It might have been 7 or 8. Sent to the Pro Bowl, obviously, at Gurley, Donald, Goff, Andrew Whitworth was there. And then you obviously had the three special teamers with Johnny Hecker, Greg Zuerlein, and Farrell Cooper. So I kind of posed the question of who I believe could possibly be a first-time Pro Bowler for the Rams this season. And the list that I came up with, just limiting it to 5, obviously guys like John Johnson could make it too. But limiting it to 5, I came up with Cooks, Michael Brockers, LaMarcus Joyner, Gerald Everett, and Roger Saffold. So those are 5 guys who I could easily see making the Pro Bowl for the first time in their careers next season. It wouldn't surprise me the least bit if any of them did. But I'll just run through why I kind of think that each one has a good chance to make the Pro Bowl next season. And starting with Cooks, obviously, I talked down upon him a little bit in the previous segment just now, but becoming a Pro Bowl receiver isn't as difficult as being an all pro or an elite receiver, obviously. You see, he's put up 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns in each of the last 3 years, but none of those seasons were enough to get him to the Pro Bowl. So he's going to have to go a little bit above and beyond those stats in order to get to Orlando for the Pro Bowl. So, like I said, I could see him going 80 catches, 1,100 yards. That'll be kind of on the fringe as far as being a Pro Bowl receiver goes. Obviously, Julio's going to be there. Dez Bryant is no longer, obviously, in the NFC. He's a free agent. But you really have to look at teams like there's not that many teams really with a ton of top tier talent at wide receiver in the NFC. You do have the Saints and Michael Thomas, obviously Julio Jones I mentioned, and then Alshon Jeffrey in Philly. Odell Beckham Jr. is going to return, so there are some good players, but I think Cooks now being in the NFC has a decent chance of making the Pro Bowl for the first time next season. I think it'll take, like I said, more than 80 catches, more than 1,100 yards to do it, but he does have a decent chance to make the Pro Bowl. Michael Brockers, obviously, he's a part of that trio up front with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, and himself at defensive end. And it would really not be surprising to see Donald and Suh both in the Pro Bowl, but as far as Brockers, it'll be quite honestly really shocking to see three defensive linemen from the same team make the Pro Bowl. That's not to say it can't happen. Obviously, he's a great player. He had a good season last year where it was really a Pro Bowl caliber type season for him. But having those three defensive linemen together, it's going to open up a lot of opportunities for all of them. It's going to give him chances to rush one-on-one, which is something that obviously he's going to have success with. And being on the strong side of the offensive line, he's going to have help from that Sam linebacker where he's going to take on tight ends and kind of hopefully open up things for Brockers. So getting three defensive linemen in the Pro Bowl next season would be really awesome for the Rams and kind of a testament to the things that they're doing up front, especially with Wade Phillips leading that defense. The next player on my list, obviously, I said LaMarcus Joyner. Last season, I thought maybe he would be a Pro Bowler, but he did miss four games, so he didn't make it last season. But going into his second year as a full-time safety, really kind of taking command of the Rams' defense and being a playmaker on the back end, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see him sneak in there. Cam Chancellor retired. So there's one fewer safety for him to beat out, but there are a lot of good safeties in the NFC. You have Earl Thomas, Harrison Smith, Malcolm Jenkins, just to name a few. So there is tough competition. And then you have John Johnson, who's a fellow Ram of Joiners. So there are a lot of good safeties in the NFC, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Joiner make his debut in the Pro Bowl next season, after hopefully staying healthy for all 16 games and really putting together a nice season. Gerald Everett he's kind of my wild card pick. We've heard a lot about him this offseason just through mini camps and OTAs. He's gotten a lot of praise from Sean McVay and the coaches there, and he's hopefully seemingly done a good job of developing into a more complete tight end where he can be a pass blocker, he can help block in the run game and be more than just a big play receiver, which is kind of what he was last season as a rookie. Made a lot of big plays. He didn't have consistent production, especially towards the end of the season. His role was a little bit limited as the Rams kind of took him off the field a bit more than they had in the beginning of the year. But if he can become a Jordan Reed type guy for Sean McVay, McVay coached him in Washington. That'll change things a lot for the Rams offense. That'll give them another weapon for Jared Goff. It'll give Sean McVay kind of a chess piece on offense where he can slot Everett out wide. He can put him in the slot. He can put him in line as a tight end, and teams they'll have a challenge kind of figuring out how to stop him because he does have good speed, good athleticism. His hands could use a little bit of work, but making that transition from at tight end as a rookie to the second season is something that some players do have success with, just because the jump from college to the pro level at tight end is it's such a big gap for players to shorten the gap and really become solid tight ends as rookies. So Gerald Everett is someone that I'm really excited to watch. I think he's going to have a good season for the Rams and possibly overtake Tyler Higbee as the number one tight end on the depth chart. So he's definitely someone to watch as a potential Pro Bowler, especially with the NFC being a little bit weak at tight end, outside of Zach Ertz and guys like Jimmy Graham. So he's definitely got a shot to make the Pro Bowl. And then lastly, you have Roger Saffold, who I thought, again, was another player who could have made the Pro Bowl. He was a second team All-Pro. which is honestly a higher honor than making the Pro Bowl is, just because of how few guards do make it the All-Pro team. But he was one of the NFL's best run blockers. He was pretty much dominant in that part of the game. And really pairing him with Andrew Whitworth gave the Rams a nice duo on the left side of the offensive line and opened up things well for Todd Gurley when he did run kind of those outside zone concepts and got his running style going outside and really broke some big plays running to the left. So he's someone who, as long as he can continue to improve as a pass blocker, he's a punishing run blocker, so that he's got that part on pretty good terms. So if he can become a better pass blocker and really improve that aspect of his game, I definitely think he has a good shot of making the Pro Bowl as the Rams' left guard. So going from those Pro Bowlers to another topic of conversation that popped up this week, something that Rams fans should hopefully be excited about. The NFL, according to Albert Breer of the MMQB, the NFL didn't announce anything officially, but the league is making changes to its uniform policy. No, they're not going to let the Rams wear their throwbacks full time, but we could see those blue and yellow uniforms a little bit more next season. So with Fox taking over the Thursday night program, they're no longer forcing teams to do the color rush. Teams can still keep those uniforms, obviously, but they're no longer forced to wear those when it's a Thursday night game. So with that said, the limit for alternate uniforms is going from two to three. So last season it was two for alternate uniforms, which we saw the Rams wear their throwbacks twice, but that third game had to be a color rush game, which we saw against the 49ers early in the season. So now the Rams can actually wear their throwbacks three times rather than twice, and then plus the color rush. So that's pretty good news for the Rams, especially with all the fans calling for them to go back to the throwbacks full time. Obviously, everyone likes those uniforms, and they're kind of hoping that the Rams make those their primaries when they do open their new stadium and unveil their new uniforms in 2020. But maybe the NFL next season, or I'm sorry, in 2019, will lessen the lessen soften the rules on those uniforms a little bit more. Maybe let the Rams wear their throwbacks a few more times rather than just three. So hopefully that'll take away at one game for the Navy uniforms, which every fan hates. The blue and white and gold jerseys with the blue and white helmets just really don't go together at all. And the Rams were ripped for it last season when they wore them against the Cowboys. They actually had to wear them twice. They wore them against the Cowboys and then against the Jaguars. Just because the Cowboys and Jaguars both wear white at home primarily. So, that was kind of an unfortunate situation for the Rams. But next season, the only team who could possibly wear white at home is the Raiders in week one. But they typically go with the black at the Oakland Coliseum. So I don't expect to see the Navy uniforms for the Rams next season, which is obviously good news. And then another post that I wrote this week, it's kind of continuing positional series that myself and Andrew Ortenberg are doing for each position. It's ranking the safeties from in the NFC West, not necessarily individual safeties, but each team's starters at that position. So obviously Cam Chancellor announced his retirement over the weekend, which is very unfortunate news. He's one of my personal favorite players in the NFL. Ever since he came out of Virginia Tech, he's just been a force for the Seahawks, and he matches up perfectly with what Earl Thomas does as a free safety. And really that duo was what took the Legion of Boom, so to speak, in Seattle to the next level, just because of how they protected the cornerbacks and gave them assurance over the top. And really, they made a huge difference for the Seahawks, and it's unfortunate that that duo is kind of broken up now. But with Chancellor retiring, it kind of changes things in the NFC West. So I ranked them the Rams number one as far as safeties, then the Seahawks, then followed by the Cardinals, and then the 49ers were fourth. No disrespect to the 49ers. They have a great safety tandem there with Jaquiski Tartt and Adrian Colbert, but there's just so much talent at the position in the division that it was hard to put them over any of the other three. The Rams, obviously, I would give the strong nod to at number one just because of how well Joyner and John Johnson played last season. They didn't even play a whole season together, which has to make fans really excited for what they're going to see next year. But they're definitely the best safety tandem in the NFC West, and next season they could make a push for the best safety tandem in all of football. Both of them were ranked in the top 15 by Pro Football Focus as far as overall grades go last season. So hopefully the national media will take notice of how good that duo is in Los Angeles. The Seahawks, I think, are probably going to have Earl Thomas and maybe Delano Hill kind of fill in for Cam Chancellor next season at strong safety. Obviously, it's not as good of a tandem as it was when you had Cam and Earl both roaming the secondary, but it's still Earl Thomas is such a good safety and he's such a good player and honestly one of the best safeties still in the NFL, even at this point in his career. Whether he remains with Seattle this year kind of is yet to be determined with all the trade rumors swirling surrounding the Seahawks and the Cowboys. But for now, the Seahawks still have the second best safety tandem in the NFC West. The Cardinals, they have a good duo with Buda Baker, who's kind of taking over for Tyrann Mathieu. He's going to play in the slot a little bit. He can play free safety. He can play strong safety. So he's got good position flexibility there. And then you have Antoine Bethea really playing the strong safety position, I think, for the Cardinals. So they have a good duo there. Buda Baker is someone that I'm really excited about. He made the Pro Bowl last year as a special teams player, but he's hoping to do that as a pure safety next season. And I think he has a decent chance to do that. He's kind of a honey badger light type player where he makes plays on the ball, always finds himself in the mix, and really finds himself around the ball on a consistent basis, which allows him to create turnovers and really get the ball in his hands. And then, like I said, the last team was the 49ers with Jaquiski Tartt and Adrian Colbert, kind of a young tandem there who missed significant time last season. So had they played a full season last year, I think I would have maybe given them the edge over the Cardinals, but there are durability concerns between those two. So it has a little bit of an impact on that ranking for me. Just a little bit hesitant to put them over the Cardinals or the Seahawks at number two or three. So that'll do it for this episode of the Rams Wire Podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. Enjoy your 4th of July, and hopefully we'll talk to you guys next week.